In my younger days, I used to run in races. I used to run 5Ks. I'm not sure what that is, but it's like 3-something miles. I'm not sure why I did it. Today, we've come to a much more genteel world. Today, I am a Fitbitter. I don't know if you know what a Fitbit is. A Fitbit is this little bracelet thing on my arm with a computer chip in it that keeps up with how many steps that I have walked, how many miles that translates into. And what I found out so far is I don't walk as much as my wife. I don't walk as much as James Baker, and he doesn't walk as much as his wife. So what we found out so far is that Fitbit may be for fitter bitters than I. But there are a lot of races that we have to look at, and I believe faith is a race that really we've got to win. And in fact, if you'll look at our text again in Hebrews chapter 12, those first couple of verses there, the Bible says, "Therefore also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," all those people listed back in chapter 11, "since we are surrounded by their witness of faith, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." There are some things that are hindering us in our life. Sin certainly is a hindrance. Sometimes we find other problems along the way that we allow to drag us down, worry, anxiety. Sometimes health gets in our way, and our faith begins to take a beating. So I want to look at this concept of faith through Hebrews 11 and 12, and we'll look at a few other scriptures. But I want you to remember just what is involved when it comes to faith. And I want us to have a faith to remember. Because I think if we don't remember our faith, then we'll lose it. By looking back at Hebrews chapter 11, there's a number of things that happen. Not only are there a lot of people who demonstrate faith, but there's the definition of faith. And I like the biblical definition of faith in the first verse where it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." There are a lot of things that I don't understand in the world. And there are a lot of people who try to come up with explanations as to why something works. You know, I remember as a child that I was presented with this problem. I don't have the answer yet, and so if some of you do, you can give it to me. But all of those of you in elementary school, I want you to think of this and give me the answer for it. How is it that a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk? I don't know. How is it that they shoot rockets to the moon and back and throughout outer space? I don't know. Somebody knows that. But there are a lot of things that I don't know, but there is something that I do know. I know that God created the universe. I know the Lord is in His holy temple. And I know this by faith. I don't have to reason it out or have it on a chart. My faith explains it to me. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 says that without faith it's impossible to please God, for they that come to Him must believe that He is, and I do believe that, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The unexplainable of how we got here, what's going on, how we can get back to God is explained by faith. Even though I cannot see it in the physical realm, I believe it with every part of my being. And that's the kind of faith that causes us to change our life. There are a number of examples given, and I think the first one is found in verse 3. "By it we know that the worlds were created." That is by faith. How do you explain it? I've heard scientists explain various theories of how the earth was created. I know that people who accept the theories as fact, and whether it starts with a big bang or a gas that cooled or a drop of water or whatever it is, there are some things that my brain doesn't follow. I don't understand how you could have, I'll just kind of put them together, a big bang that caused a gas that cooled off that somehow caused water that ended up in an ocean that caused something to wiggle and squiggle and one day walk out on land and become my great ancestor. I don't understand that at all. It makes a whole lot more sense to me that in the beginning, God, the supreme creator of all things. In the beginning, God created. That makes more sense to me that an eternal God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, an ever-present God could speak into existence this planet, this universe, and everything that's contained therein. Are you saying, well, Keith, are you just saying that science doesn't mean anything? I'm not saying that. Science, the best I recall, was the study of something. That's at least what I was taught in school, that science is a study of something. And so you can study whatever you want to and you come up with everything. I remember somebody telling me one time, you know, that the earth is not old enough for carbon to turn into diamonds or for dinosaurs to turn into oil. Assuming they were buried and all this kind of stuff. And somebody said, how do you explain that? I said, well, the problem is here that we're coming from a different starting point. I believe in Jehovah God who can speak into being the planet, the people on the planet, every animal that exists and creeps and crawls and everything that's on the planet, everything that flies in the air, swims in the sea. Why would it be difficult to me to think that God could also create some diamonds and put in the earth, create some oil deposits and put in the earth? I'm not under the same concept of you. You see, I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. By faith, we understand that the worlds which were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. I don't have to have the explanation of something I see because I believe in the God who created it all in the first place. It just is much more sensible to me to start with a God who can create, with intelligence with the power to create, rather than matter with no intelligence. So by faith, I understand how the world was made. And it's not very long in Hebrews chapter 11, if you look at verse 4, that you begin to see examples of people's faith. And we need to bring these to our remembrance to understand what faith does. Verse 4 says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Perhaps you remember the story of the fruits and the vegetables versus the animal sacrifice, and one was accepted by God, one was not. The animal sacrifice was accepted, and Cain's was not, because apparently Cain didn't do what God said. By faith, it's not what I think, it's what God says. And that's why the sacrifice was more acceptable, because it was a faith sacrifice. In chapter 11, verse 5 and 6, we talk about Enoch. Enoch is the father of Methuselah. And Enoch is one of two individuals that the Bible tells us didn't die. Enoch, the Bible says, was taken away so that he did not see death. It's been said by those who contemplate such things that Enoch and God were so close in their relationship that they would spend time every day together, and that perhaps one day as they were spending their time together, God simply placed his arm around Enoch and said, come on with me and come home. Because the Bible says Enoch did not see death. Do you believe that? Absolutely. How can you believe that? With the eye of faith, I can believe that the God who had a fish prepared to swallow Jonah could take Enoch home. By a God that could speak the world into creation could take Enoch home. By a God that has the power over a Roman cross and a sealed tomb, that God can do what God needs to do. In Hebrews chapter 11, on down in verse 7, it talks about by faith, Noah prepared an ark. This is one of the strangest stories in all of the Bible to me. It is a lesson totally based on faith. The world had become so wicked that God repented that he had made man. Then God comes to Noah and he said, Noah, I'm going to save you and your family, and we're going to repopulate the earth. You're going to save the animals, and here's how to build an ark. And Noah must have said, God, what's an ark? And he said, don't worry about it, just do what I tell you to do. He gave him the dimensions, and he gave him the materials, and he gave him everything he needed to build an ark. And God said, oh, by the way, the reason you're building an ark is because there's going to be a flood. And Noah must have said, God, what's a flood? And God says, well, it's going to rain. And Noah must have said, what's rain? Because the Bible never mentions it before now. And the floodwaters come up from the deep, and the rain comes down, and a flood comes, and after Noah's followed the instructions, he faithfully followed the instructions of God. By faith, he did this. He prepared an ark. You know that the people of the day, the wicked people, those who were evil, given to sin, came by and they made fun of him on a regular basis, but Noah said that God told me to do it, and if God told me to do it, that's good enough for me. And by faith, the Bible says that Noah built an ark, and he prepared that ark, and there were 8 souls saved, and the animals were saved, and they came back and repopulated the earth. Verse 8 begins to talk about, by faith, Abraham, not knowing where he was going, went to a place that God sent him. I don't know if you've ever taken a trip. gone on an airplane somewhere, but most of us, when we take a trip, get our itinerary. And you like to follow that itinerary, don't you? If you're like me, before you ever get on the plane, you look at the itinerary and you say, we're going to be here at this time, and we're going to be here at this time, and we're going to be here, and this is where we're going to be, and here's where I'm finally getting off. Here's my destination. So far, all of my itineraries have worked out. I've been very concerned about Brother Demar Elam and Brent Misseldine and their families. You see, they left 2 weeks ago on a trip to go to the Philippines. And they got to Honolulu where they were going to catch a plane that went to Guam. That's what the itinerary said. They left on the plane, and I'm going to make a long story very short. Several hours into the flight, they noticed smoke in the cockpit. And they smelled smoke in the cockpit. And they came back over and said, we're going back to Honolulu. Then they came back over the intercom and said, we're losing power. We're losing radar. We can't make it to Honolulu. We're going to go to Midway Island. There's an old landing strip there. It's not used commercially, but we think we can land there. My itinerary's out the window at that place. I'm beginning to worry. But you know, God said, Abraham, get out of the country of your father and the land of Ur. And I'm going to take you into a place. You just trust me, and I'll get you to where we're going. And Abraham, by faith, took his family and all that he had, and he began a journey that would change the world. Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith Sarah, when she was too old to bear children, verses 11 and 12, bore a child because she believed, listen to it, she judged him faithful who had promised. You see, it was her faith in God that said, God, if you think that at 90 years old I need to have a child, then after she initially thought it was funny and laughed and didn't understand it, the Bible says she judged him faithful. Her faith changed the world. Verses 13 through 16, go ahead and tell us that these all died in faith. They did not receive the promises. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Verse 14, they seek a homeland. Verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them and for us, but we'll make that journey by faith. This world is not our home. We're seeking a city. A city that has foundations foursquare. We're looking for a city where God is there, where Jesus is there. We're looking for that, and we believe that he who promised is faithful and that we will receive that great reward. But there's something else I want to talk about faith. And this is something I think we need to be challenged a little bit on. I believe when we run the race of faith that it's evident that your faith is seen. That if you're living the way that you ought to live, if you're being the person you ought to be, people who see you in life know that you believe in God. I'm not talking about being ostentatious or holding up a sign or waving it in somebody's face or yelling at somebody from the street corner. I'm talking about they see your life. In fact, in James chapter 2, verse 21, James goes back to the illustration of Abraham. And he says that our father Abraham was justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar. You remember that implausible story where he takes and he puts his son on the altar and he ties him up and he takes a knife and he's ready to kill him. And when his son asks, where's the sacrifice? He says, God will provide. And indeed, God does provide. But you know what the Hebrew writer said? He believed that God was able to raise him from the dead. He wasn't looking for another sheep. He was looking for God to raise his son from the dead. Do you see that faith working together with works, and that works by faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, then a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? You see, what he's saying is that your faith is evident because of how you live your life. It's evident if you're running the race or if you're blending in with the crowd. Did you see the news clip that was on a couple of weeks ago? They had the running of the bulls. Any of y'all ever done that running of the bulls thing? Me either. And I'm not planning on it. But just to show you how up to date things are, apparently people like to take selfies. You know what selfies are? Pictures of yourself. And so they would have people get right at the edge of where the bulls were running, and they would take their cell phones and they would take a picture of themselves smiling as the bulls were running up behind them. This is not faith. This is crazy. And it's apparently against the rules also. But faith says, I'll go wherever you lead me, my Father. Faith says that if you tell me to be baptized for the remission of my sins, I don't have to understand the efficacy of it, but I believe it, and I'll do it because you told me to. He goes on in verse 20 to say, O foolish man, faith without works is dead. Not that you're earning your way to heaven, but that faith is what causes us to live in a way that heaven can be ours. Let me share one other thought with you. And it goes back to faith as the race. Faith is also the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. That's exactly what the Bible teaches, but we've got to remain faithful all the days of our life that heaven can be our home. In 1 John chapter 5, starting in the first five verses, and we'll kind of skip around in there a little bit, it says that we have to keep His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And hence commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, I think I know why you're here this morning, but I really don't. I don't know if you came this morning because this is what you do on Sunday morning, or because the family expected you to, or because you were made to by your mama, or you were made to by your children, or whatever it is. I don't know why you're here. But why you need to be here is because you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we've come to worship Him. And we want to finish the race. It's amazing to me how many times the Bible uses the illustration of the race. Paul said, I've finished the race. I've kept the course. Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love His returning. It's simply amazing to me how many people do not love the idea of His returning. How many people are afraid that Jesus could come back. If there is no invitation song this morning, and I don't know if there is or not, well, I know one was announced, but if Jesus should come back before the invitation song, where's your faith? Is faith the victory? Have you completed the course? Have you finished the race? Are you ready to receive the crown? If not, why not? The world is replete with examples that Jesus lives, that He came. History documents His appearance on the planet, but it's the empty tomb that declares Him to be the Son of God. This world was created by that God who knew that when He put man into the world that the idea of sin was possible. And before the world was ever created, He already had a plan where His only Son could come and die for us and His blood be shed for our sins and we could be redeemed and added back into the family. And if we'll be faithful, heaven can be our home. I believe this with all of my heart. I believe that Jesus is coming back and that we must be ready. This morning, maybe you've never become a Christian, but you believe Jesus is the Son of God. You're willing to repent of sins. In fact, you're trying to live right. You'll confess His name before men. You need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, where you can be raised to walk in newness of life, where you can be added to the body. That's what the Bible teaches. I make no apology for it. It's exactly what the Bible says has to do to become and to be put into Christ and to have the hope of heaven. If you've wandered away, come back. I have faith enough to believe that Jesus is true and His words are true and that He offers salvation to each one of us. This morning, if you need to respond to heaven's invitation, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?